We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Joining us right now, the great Peter King. Peter, Joe, and Evan, how you been?
What's up, Peter?
Everything's going okay. You guys doing all right?
Yeah,
doing all right.
Are you getting used to working at home?
I'm very used to it now.
Yeah, I think Joe's falling in love.
I will say this, Peter. It's unfortunate that it has to be this way for me to be working at home, but you know the situation that it is. But I played golf this morning. It's unbelievable. It really is.
Yeah. Well, Peter, the NFL has served as a great sports is a great distraction from the real world, and I think the NFL over the last 4 days has given us that distraction. Let me ask you though, of all the things we've seen over the last few days, and there's a lot. The Hopkins trade, Brady going to Tampa, Todd Gurley. The biggest surprise over the last 4 days for you, Peter, has been what?
You won't like this, but DeForest Buckner, one of the five best interior defensive linemen, one of the three best interior defensive linemen, Chris Jones and Aaron Donald, getting traded by the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, you know, you easily could make an argument he's been their best defensive player the last four years. And he's a huge reason why they played in the Super Bowl this year. It just, that one amazed me. I understand why. But to get traded for the 13th pick in the draft, I thought was understandable for the 49ers, but stunning nonetheless, and a great player falling out of the sky for Frank Reich and the Indianapolis Colts.
Let me ask you this question, because you mentioned that, and let's talk about the Colts for a second, because Philip Rivers is going to be the quarterback there now. Well, what's your thoughts on Indianapolis going into the season?
I was very bullish on them this past year, and I thought they'd be good, and Jacoby Brissett was not altogether healthy, and he wasn't as good as he was in 2018. So I think the Colts basically determined that our team is too good to wake up on opening day, September 15th or whatever day it is, or September 10th, 12th, I forget. And our team is just too good to not really have a good idea of whether our quarterback is good enough. And in my opinion, that's why they did it. And I don't think they feel great about doing it, quite honestly. It isn't that they don't want Philip Rivers on their team, but I think they wish that Jacoby Brissett had taken the bull by the horns and been better last year, and he just wasn't. And if you're as good as they are, I think in other positions and getting better as every year goes on, you can't leave the quarterback position to chance. And again, Philip Rivers is certainly not a no-doubt guy. He did not play well last year.
Right.
Reunited with, two guys who coached him from 13 to 15, in Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni, the offensive coordinator of the Colts, I think is going to do him good. And the Indianapolis Colts are going to be the beneficiary, in my opinion, of a position in free agency that absolutely caved. You know, for Robbie Anderson not to have gotten any action, for a bunch of pretty good receivers to have gotten no action, you know, like Emmanuel Sanders, and for Rashad Perryman, who was good at the end of last year, to be lightly regarded in free agency, I think that will be a good opportunity for the Colts to basically shop at Target for what might be a pretty good talent.
Now, you, Peter, I think it was Monday. I'm losing track of days because we're all home, but you were the first one that I saw that threw out there, hey, the Texans may trade DeAndre Hopkins. And when I read that, Peter, I was getting all excited. As a Jet fan, I was envisioning, oh, they got to make a push for Hopkins. What about what Bill O'Brien turned DeAndre Hopkins into? Because I think to Joe and I, and obviously to a lot of people, it seemed like a very underwhelming return. So when you wrote that, the first one to report Hopkins is out there, did you expect the return to look like that?
First of all, I didn't expect him to get traded 8 hours after I posted my column. I was shocked. As a matter of fact, I was on Rich Eisen's show about 10 hours after I posted, I guess. Right. I was on Rich Eisen's show, you know, noon or at some point on Monday, and he kind of, he did the play-by-play from Adam Schefter's tweets about Hopkins, and I was stunned. First of all, I wasn't stunned that he was traded, not at all.
Right.
But I was stunned by the return because it wasn't enough. And I think, you know, Bill O'Brien, he's a little bit, not altogether my way or the highway, but he's an old-fashioned football coach. And he's a rough, gruff guy. And so I do think that Bill O'Brien had had enough of the guy. And he also knew that he felt strongly that there was a very good chance that he was not playing football under this contract. You know, 3 years, $40 million left. And he also knew that if he traded DeAndre Hopkins, he only had a cap hit of $3 million. So this was the time to strike while the iron was hot. He just didn't get enough. You know, he just didn't get enough. And then when you saw the return that Stephon Diggs got, and I bet if you ask right now, if you ask, forget about the money, okay? But if you ask 32 NFL general managers, who would you rather have on your roster, DeAndre Hopkins or Stephon Diggs? 30 of them would say, maybe 32, I don't know, would say I'd rather have DeAndre Hopkins. He's a better football player over the last 3 years than the guy who's acknowledged as the best receiver in football, Julio Jones. He's been better. And so the reason that he couldn't get very much, I think, will be that everybody knew in a year when there was huge depth in the draft at wide receiver, this year basically was not a great year to put DeAndre Hopkins on the market. And I think when Bill O'Brien went out, other general managers are not stupid. We can all sit here and say what an idiotic move that was. And I can't totally defend it, but I can say that anybody who was going to trade for DeAndre Hopkins knew there was a very good chance that they were going to have to give him a new contract with 3 years left on his old contract. People in the NFL don't like to do that. So I'm sure that that turned a lot of interested teams off right at the beginning.
Now, you mentioned Robbie Anderson. We're talking to Peter King. I'm a Jet fan. I want Robbie Anderson back. Are you telling me basically that the Jets have no intentions of bringing him back?
No, I don't have it. I don't know. I don't. Not
well, you said the Colts. It sounded like you knew that the Colts were hot for him.
No. I'm just saying the Colts are going to get a very lucky break because there's going to be a good receiver on the market who's going to be crushingly disappointed with the fact that nobody out there is paying veteran receivers.
Right,
they're not
right,
paying many
right.
of them anyway.
Right.
You know, and so you look at the crop wasn't very good to begin with. And I think that, you know, if you're willing to take Robbie Anderson's baggage, which I can tell you, Joe, one of the reasons why Robbie Anderson's not getting action out there is his baggage. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. People are not sure whether they can trust him. So, you know, now you decide, honestly, if the Jets want to re-sign him, whatever, I don't know, pick a number, 2 years, $20 million or something. I don't even know. But he's not going to get the money that he thought he was going to get a week ago.
Yeah. And you think,
pretty obvious.
Do you think that the class of receivers is really what's driving this market down mostly for receivers?
Evan, if you think of this, I want you to think of this, all right? So last year in the draft, it was a good year, a very good year for receivers, all right?
Right.
And DK Metcalf goes 64 overall, and he goes to Seattle. And there's no question that DK Metcalf, in retrospect, if you redrafted, is one of the best 20 players in that draft. So then he's the 64th pick. The 76th pick is Terry McLaurin, who, because Washington was crappy last year, nobody really knows. He was a top five rookie in the NFL last year, an offensive rookie. And so, you know, he's the 76th pick. And now we're hearing that this group of receivers is better than last year. I haven't even talked about A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, you know, and a bunch of other really, really good receivers. Heck, when I voted for my offensive rookie of the year this year, I split my vote between Kyler Murray and A.J. Brown of the Titans. I think A.J. Brown is an absolute star. And at some point, he's going to have a chance to make the impact that DeAndre Hopkins has made. So, but anyway, so this year, it's even better. At least that's what, that's what the scouts say, and that's obviously what all the draft gurus say. So we'll see. But I do think that does have an impact on the money that is not being offered to these other guys.
We're talking to Peter King about the NFL. Do you, and Joe and I have talked a lot about this, I think everybody has, do you get a sense of how Bill Belichick is going to try to replace Tom Brady?
I don't talk to Bill. I haven't talked to Bill in a long time, so I don't know. But if you judge, Bill on his history, okay, he is held hostage by nobody for anybody. And so the way I have looked at this is I doubt sincerely. Everybody said, well, you know, and I might have started this. I said, I think Andy Dalton would be a perfect Bill Belichick football player. Perfect. Not that he'd be great, but he wouldn't complain. He would toe the line. He wouldn't say crap if he had a mouthful. He's a Belichick football player. Okay. But you think Bill Belichick is paying Andy Dalton $17 million next year? No. I mean, look, if you ask me, no. I think what Bill Belichick does is he wakes up on April 28th or whatever day is a couple of days after the draft, and he says, okay, we need a veteran quarterback. Let's look and see right now who is on the street. I mean, maybe it'll be Andy Dalton, Alex Smith, Jameis Winston. I don't know. We don't know who's going to be out there. But he basically sees that the musical chairs have stopped except for one chair. And he's got that chair. And there's three or four guys out there with some starting experience. And he says, who am I going to bring in to compete every day in training camp against Jared Stidham? Because that's what I think he would do. Now, would he maybe give the job to a guy like Andy Dalton in his mind? Yeah. But anyway, that's my gut feeling. That's what I think he's going to do. He'll say, who's willing to sign 1 year, $7 million? And that's what he would do. But that's just my gut feeling.
Talking to the great Peter King, of course, talking football with him. All right, how good now, in your mind, will the Bucs be now that Brady's the quarterback?
The Bucs had that weird, bizarre loss to the Giants that obviously I don't know. I mean, that was a really exciting game for Daniel Jones and for the Giants, but I mean, I thought the Bucs were going to win at the end on the field goal. They didn't, but whatever. So, and even with that, they're 7-7 entering the last two games of the season. Home against Houston, home against Atlanta. They should have won both games. Jameis Winston threw six interceptions, including a pick six, on the first play of overtime of the last game of his Tampa Bay career against Atlanta. Both of those games, by the way, were at home. And so he throws six picks And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers should have finished 9-7. Absolutely, unequivocally. They should not have lost either one of those games. If Case Keenum were the quarterback in those two games, they'd have finished 9-7. Because he would not throw the ball to the other team all the time. So the only reason I bring that up is that this is not the 1976 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a team that right now has two wide receivers who were more dangerous than Julian Edelman right now, and obviously more dangerous than anybody the Patriots have, because Edelman competes with those guys, and then nobody else. Okay? They've got two tight ends who are far better than anybody the Patriots employed last year. So there's four better pass catchers on his new team than he had in New England last year. They have a young, rising core of pretty good defensive talent. I don't think it's a great defense, but you're going to hear a lot about Devin White, the middle linebacker, who's only 21 or 22 years old. He's a future star. And so I just look at the Bucs and I say, I can see him winning 10 games easy. And I think Tom Brady will have a Tom Brady year. Now, he's not going to be Daryl LaMonica bombs away Joe Namath in his early years with the Jets, because that's not who he is. But he can still throw a very good medium-range dart. He can still throw an absolutely excellent 20-yard out, and that's what he's going to throw a lot of this year. And so I think they'll be pretty good.
I mean, you got one thing I was laughing at when you talk about Winston throwing the ball to the other team. He threw 30 interceptions last year. You've got to add up Tom Brady's interception totals of the last 4 years to even come close to that 30 number. So,
yeah, he's at 29 over the last 4 years.
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing.
This is the thing we've been speculating for so long. What and how is Tom making this decision? You mentioned the talent on offense they have. Bruce Arians, maybe the weather down in Tampa, maybe the money. Ultimately, why do you think Tom Brady chose the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
He wanted a new football experience. I think that, you know, a lot of people totally discount this and they say, dumb decision. He should have gone to a place that absolutely on day one gives them the best chance to win the Super Bowl. Well, why can't he go, A, to where he wants, and B, here's the other thing that I've been trying to just wrap my head around. How many of us, when we leave college, how many of us have one job in our professional lives and do it in one place and then retire only having worked in one place? And, you know, I think Dan Marino and John Elway absolutely are the exceptions to the rule. They're not the rule. And I kind of applaud Brady for saying, okay, I want to be as close to my family as I can. Like, I will always think, if the Indianapolis Colts had shown interest in Brady, I would not be surprised if he was a Colt today. Okay, because, you know, that's also close to New York, where I believe, from what I've read from, I think, Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington, that's where his family intends to live and all that. So, look, I think all that is part of it, but I think also, I'm not saying that winning and playing for Bill Belichick doesn't in the end amount to fun. It does amount to fun. But there's a certain thing where let's see if football can be fun in another place doing it another way. And I think that's what it came down to for Brady.
What about some of these other quarterbacks? You mentioned Dalton, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton's another guy. What about those guys, Pete?
Well, as somebody who knows Jameis Winston told me in the last hour, Jameis Winston is going to have to eat humble pie and be a backup somewhere for a year or two.
Really?
He's not going somewhere right away unless the Patriots take him. But with Bill Belichick's absolute fanaticism for not turning it over, it's just hard for me to imagine that he would go after Jameis Winston. But, you know, again, who knows? I don't know what Belichick is thinking. But Winston's probably going to have to go somewhere as a backup for a while. That's what I would think. I think an absolutely perfect place for him is Pittsburgh. Most people think that's crazy. They're a buttoned-up organization and all that, and I don't think they would want to revisit what happened in Winston's past, because it's something also that happened in Ben Roethlisberger's past. And look, nobody's been convicted of anything. I'm not saying that, but those stories will follow Winston the same way they followed Roethlisberger. As far as Newton goes, this is a very, very bad year for a quarterback in questionable health to be on the street. How in the world would anybody stick their neck out right now and sign Cam Newton? I mean, the surgeries, you know, think about, for obviously he didn't play last year much, obviously, but the second half of 2018 he was, you know, messed up because of his shoulder. So, you know, look, I think a lot of these guys face uncertain futures. And we also, we haven't even talked about the fact that, you know, Joe Burrow is going to Cincinnati and he's starting opening day. So there's a chair that's been taken away. And Miami, it appears, is going to be in position to take Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert. And so now that's another team that's taken away. So, you know, I don't know. If I were one of those guys, the number one place I'd want to go to probably is Pittsburgh. And the number two place I'd want to go is Jacksonville.
Interesting. We're talking to Peter King. Giant fans were excited. They had like $70 million in cap space. Bradberry, Blake Martinez, Cameron Fleming, franchising Leonard Williams. What's your take on what the Giants have done so far with their cap space?
I mean, the first two guys, what you mentioned, are the good guys, you know, that they've signed, in my opinion. I think Blake Martinez is a tackling machine. You know, he's a classic, you know, clean up the action behind the defensive line. He is a sure tackler. I think he's going to be a crowd favorite. Bradberry is a good cornerback who, in this market today in the NFL, I think got very fortunate to get $15 million a year. Dave Gettleman knows him exceedingly well, and he drafted him in Carolina. To me, I think he's a good signing. I like him. And you know, what else they've done. And I kind of like the fact that they haven't let the money burn a hole in their pocket, honestly, because, you know, I'll say the same thing about Joe Douglas. You know, I've never, ever, ever in the time that free agency has come into play, almost probably since Reggie White in 1993, you know, when he went to Green Bay. I don't think the winner of the off-season free agent derby has ever had a truly great year. You know, had a, you know, like a top seed year or anything like that.
Right, right.
It's always Washington signing Deion Sanders and Bruce Smith. And remember when Washington used to win the off-season every year?
Oh, yeah, every
now,
year.
Yep. And now Cleveland wins the off-season. Everybody said, oh, my God. The talent they collected, wake me up when they win, okay? I mean, and again, I like what they've done in free agency. But, I mean, you know, if Baker Mayfield is a C-plus quarterback again, you know, they're going 8-8 if they're lucky because, you know, there's still two teams better than them in their division. So, you know, I don't get all excited about the opening days of free agency because – history shows that the opening days of free agency rarely ever produce a Super Bowl team.
Pete, it's always a pleasure having you on, man.
Really is, Pete.
Hey,
we love you, man.
Thank you. It's fun. I wish you guys the best, and I hope everybody in New York is okay. I'm sitting here in Brooklyn looking out at this lovely, lovely day and not really that excited about going out into it.
I understand. Well, enjoy it, Peter. Always great talking football. Okay.
All right,
my friend.
Pete. Stay safe. Stay safe. All the love, Pete.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.